This is Hillside Church's Sermon of the Week. Thank you so much for listening. To find out more about our church, our ministries, and our outreaches, please visit hillsidechurch.us.
Good morning. We're continuing our series, You in 5 Years. And really quickly, to bring you up to speed, we started the series the beginning of January, and we've entitled it You in 5 Years because we believe a better or the best question to ask is, in 5 years, what will I have done or what will I have accomplished, but a better question, the best question is, who will I have become? And for some of you, you're like, man, that's exactly the way I think. I'm thinking about who I am becoming. But the truth is, I would say most of our culture is consumed with achieving things. Wouldn't you agree? Reaching goals, kind of reaching certain things along life's journey, things we can kind of, boxes we can check. And if we're not careful, we don't spend 5 years, but we spend a lifetime searching after ways to achieve things instead of actually recognizing and focusing on what's the most important part of who we are, not the exterior, but the interior. And so in this series, we have been looking at some pivotal ways to equip you and me, to equip us together to, in 5 years, kind of look back on our life and have fewer regrets. Have less regrets, actually have leaned into who God is, who He says we are, and we just believe if we do that, if we focus upon those sorts of things through Christ, through God's Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, how many of you know in 5 years, life won't be perfect, life won't be rosy, but what we will have done is we'll have developed who we are becoming. And we'll probably, chances are, be a lot more pleasant to be around. Chances are our families will be stronger, our marriages will be healthier, our relationships, our parenting, for you parents in the room, will be far more successful, and not by the world's standards, but by God's standards. In fact, just to have stepped into that, as you know, pastors sometimes do, the world's standards will get us focused on culture and what success looks like in culture. But if you're new to this, I want to let you know, kingdom success, kingdom through Jesus' eyes, or success through Jesus' eyes, it's a lot different than success in the world's eyes. And so this series is I hope it's a few things. I hope it's an encouragement. I hope it's inspiration. But I also hope it's a bit of a challenge, a bit of a stretch for you to grow as daughters and sons of God. And so today we are going to be talking about one pivotal area for you to examine that I think will hold sway over the next 5 years of your life, and that is your thinking. I want you this morning to think about your thoughts, right? We're going to spend some time examining our thoughts. Come on, if you've never done that, I want to let you know, husbands especially, this is what your wives are trying to get you to do. Think about what you're thinking about, right? It's kind of pivotal in our journey with Christ to think about what we're thinking about. And before I get too far along, I actually want to share the scriptures we're going to look at with you right up front, and then we're going to continue in our journey. So there's three passages, three scriptures for you. You can jot them down if you're taking notes. You can follow along right here on the screen. But three pivotal scriptures. The first is Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7. And it's this. It's the simplest one, quickest one. You may even have it memorized. As a man thinketh or thinks in his heart, so is he. And thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's Proverbs 23, 7 in the King James translation. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we read, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." One more time. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Paul's writing here to the church, obviously, in Corinth, the Corinthian church. So this is a letter. He's encouraging them, challenging them, spiritually leading them. And he writes down this: "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." This morning in particular, I know I said we want you to think about your thinking, but we're going to talk about a pivotal piece of your thinking, and that is the way you and I think. The way you and I think could also be framed in this way. It's the way you and I approach every day. Not only every day, every situation, every circumstance we approach, whether we consciously recognize it or whether we're just going day to day and have never even thought about this, both sets are still doing that. And what we are doing is we are living life according to our mindsets. Can we say that word together? Mindset. 1, 2, 3. Mindsets. And think about that, just breaking that word down, mind and set. You know, if you ever have to create something, you remember doing paper mache or pottery, maybe growing up in elementary school. I don't know how your elementary school experience was, but mine included those things. And as a young kid, we would make this shape. And what did the teacher say? Don't touch it. Let it set. Leave it alone. Just let it set. Well, here's what's fascinating for me. You and I, however many years of age we have been on earth and journeying through life, we have been setting our mind in certain places, with certain perspectives, with certain ideas, with certain core beliefs. You may say, "No, man, I'm a free thinker." Well, there you go. Your mind is set. You are a free thinker, right? It's just one perspective. Each of us is doing this. Each of us is living life according to our mind sets. And I want to do a thought experiment right out the gate this morning. I've got three characters. Hopefully you're familiar with each three. We have three kind of culturally famous, at least here in the United States, culturally famous characters, and I just want to highlight them and a thought experiment together to showcase how mindsets play out. So these three characters are, first, Eeyore. Everyone familiar with Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, Disney? Hopefully you're familiar a little bit with his identity, his personality, his mindset. The second is Buddy the Elf. Anyone familiar with Buddy the Elf? Okay. And the third here is not too old school for some of you younger ones, maybe a little old school. Happy Gilmore. All right. Here's the situation. I just want to show you how mindsets play out. Here's the situation. Each one of these, this is their filter. This is the experience they're about to have. A red traffic light when you are in a hurry. They have to get from point A to point B in the quickest time possible, and they experience a red traffic light. How would Eeyore handle that? In a melancholic manner, I put this together. It'd be sad. Characteristic voice, you might say things like, "These are funny things, these red lights. I would have guessed it would have happened to me. I always," key word, "always get stuck at red lights." We understand. Notice this. Eeyore's mindset, y'all are like, "Y'all are crazy." He is dissecting Eeyore's mindset. Just hang with me. Eeyore's mindset had direct implications on behavior. Well, the same is true of Buddy the Elf. Picture Buddy the Elf, right? How would Buddy the Elf respond? With optimism. He'd just be so excited to experience a red light. He'd be upbeat with the possibilities. "I love red lights. Red lights are my favorite. I wonder how many seconds are between a red light and a green light. One, two." Like, we would be driven nuts watching Buddy the Elf experience a red light, right? Well, the same can be, not the same, excuse me. The same plays out for Happy Gilmore, right? Adam Sandler's character in the movie by the name title, Happy Gilmore, he would react with sheer emotion, just raw anger. He would have what we call anger issues. Well, he'd be fed up and angry. I hate red lights. Why do red lights even exist? What is the point? Forget it. I'm running this red light. I mean, that would play out, right? None of these characters in their movies experience a red light, but for the sake of example, a little thought experiment, that's how it would be in each of them. Well, I want to tell you, maybe not on that simple of a level, the same is true for you and I. We approach daily living with mindsets. Mindsets. We could have inherited some of our mindsets from our parents, from our grandparents, from our great-grandparents. It may have been a family relationship that we lean into, maybe an aunt or an uncle somehow kind of coached us on how to do life. And unknowingly, we inherited and invited a mindset, and it got stuck. And now, when we were single, we were handling it perfectly. When we were dating, we could hide our mindset. When we got married, our mindset was exposed. And our spouse was like, "What are you thinking? Honey, the air conditioning is best at 75 degrees in the middle of summer. Amen, somebody? That's where we keep the air conditioning." My wife looked at me. "What are you thinking? The air conditioner is best at 65 in the middle of summer." And so here's the beautiful thing. You get two mindsets playing out in the same place. This happens everywhere and every turn in life. Here's what's interesting. I'm of the belief 100%, you can see it all throughout Scripture. There are obviously two forces at play over your life, are there not? Two forces at play. There's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light. When we come into the kingdom of light, every mindset that was rooted in the kingdom of darkness has to now be filtered through the transition we've made from darkness, if you will, or being lost to being found. Hang with me. Hang with me. This is pivotal for your living. And so one of the things I've noticed in the spiritual journey is people bump into their journey with Christ, which is incredible. I love when people experience the love of God for the first time and surrender their life to Christ. It is, honestly, it's the best thing as a pastor. It's just amazing. But what I have noticed is so much of church culture fixates on the beginning moment where you surrender your life to Christ. And then it's like a pat on the back, and you are sent into battle without having any idea and having no clue. And now you're trying to, if you will, live out your faith with mindsets that are still under the yoke of the kingdom of darkness. They've never been transformed. We have never disciplined ourselves to take our daily battle seriously. And so, if you can imagine, all right, I'm just saying this. Happy Gilmore may represent the kingdom of darkness. Please, don't take this out of context, please. Happy Gilmore, per se, represents the kingdom of darkness, right? Buddy the Elf, I'm just saying, represents the kingdom of Christ. Here's what happens. We get saved, and if we're not careful, we start following Jesus. If we're not careful, we're not spending time in God's presence. We're not spending time in God's word. We're not spending time developing that relationship, yielding places of our heart to the work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. And here's what happens. We may have made a decision, but as our journey carries out, we're still living with old mindsets. And here's what happens. You hear a series like this, you in 5 years, and you're all in. You're excited. Yes, the opportunity's before us. We can change some things. We can work some things. That's great. But here's where we have to watch ourselves. There's got to take some shifting to the way we have been thinking if we want to see life transformed. I create this tension. If you want to change the outcome, you have to change the mindset. We have to change our starting place in Christ. We have to change our starting place, and our starting place is in Christ. So I say these verses to you very sincerely. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Perhaps you've realized this, but you will never reach or stretch or go beyond. You will never be a barrier breaker in your personal life. You will never go beyond what you see yourself going beyond. It sounds like a no-brainer. But you will never step into all God has for you without believing that God loves you that much, that you can step into all that God has for you. And so you could, I'm just saying you hypothetically, not our service, 9:30 a.m. service, but what happens is you live life, if you're not careful, I have done this, so I'm preaching from very known or well-known territory. You live life with old mindsets. One of the most pivotal things we could do in our relationship with Christ is to yield our old mindsets to the work of the Holy Spirit and to embrace the mindsets of God over us. And that begins by taking Romans chapter 12, verse 2 very seriously. Romans 12, verse 2, it says this: do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think on that. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul's writing to this infant church in Rome. He's encouraging them. The verse right before says, live your life, walk your life, your everyday, mundane, day-to-day living as a sacrifice unto God. Well, how would that even be possible? Here's how, Paul says. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our pattern of thinking and living in Christ changes the outcome. Our old way of thinking must yield its way to a new way of thinking or a new way of being human. Paul's encouragement must be taken sincerely to renew your mind. I love what Paul says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I'm going to share this verse, then we'll jump into a few thoughts and we'll be done. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says this: we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the, say it with me here, knowledge of God. And we take captive what? Every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I want to zone in on those three words: knowledge of God. I want to throw you into the deep end of the pool. Every obstacle in your life is a test of your knowledge of God. Everyone, every single trial, valley season, obstacle, it is very, I mean this very sincerely, it is a test of how convinced you and I are of our knowledge of God. So I want to encourage you, I want to equip you. How can you grow your knowledge of God? I always have a starting place, and my starting place is you grow in your knowledge of God through the Word of God. I believe very clearly in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's actually giving us an inner witness and even whispering to us. God communicates in so many various ways. But for me, your starting place to renew your mind, to grow in the knowledge of God, to transform from an old way of thinking to a new way of thinking is this. We've got to clue in and key in, to the Scriptures, to God's holy word. It's how we can, just stick with me for a moment, grow in our knowledge of God. Just as I did with the exercise in the beginning with the red light, I want to lead us through something you and I may face on occasion. So this is a little thought exercise for you and me. Something we may be very, very familiar with. Some of us, it may be a little more vague, but I'm sure you've experienced at some point in your life, and it is the surprise bill. Have you ever had the surprise bill? Maybe you settled some medical bills, some medical accounts, and 6 months later, the hospital bills you out of nowhere for $2.5 million. No, it's not that high. But it feels like it in the moment, doesn't it? It's the surprise bill. Have you ever experienced it? You could be a business leader, a business owner, and they still happen, these surprise bills. You had no idea where it was coming from. You're like, honey, when did we sign up our daughter for circus lessons? What is this surprise bill? Well, that you can figure out real quick. But a legitimate surprise bill, I want you to hang with me. It becomes an obstacle. It becomes something you face on a daily basis or seasonally basis. How do you run the surprise bill? What sort of framework, what sort of mindset do you have that you deal with the surprise bill? Were you born in a family that freaked out and flipped the lid with every surprise bill? Because I'm telling you what, if you did, at 3, at 4, at 5, all the way through high school, all the way through college, that mindset got stuck in your head. And then you go to do life alone, and you get a surprise bill, and what's your mindset? Freak out. Flipped out. How can I sum up the pattern of this world thinking? Here it is. Spiritual orphan thinking. Pattern of this world is spiritual orphan thinking. You and I encounter people every day who have no knowledge of the living God. They face circumstances and freak out because they have no idea how faithful God is. And no surprise bill is a surprise to him. And people who have leaned in and established and rooted themselves in the Word of God with a knowledge of the Word of God, they say things like this. Oh, I don't know. Matthew 6:8. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Oh, Matthew 6, chapter 25 through 27. Do not worry. How many of you know in the billion-dollar industry, medical industry, that is easing the pain of so many in society, how many of you know they could do with a greater knowledge of God in their life? Psalm chapter 50, verse 15, David, one of the guys you found and had some tremendously anxious days, which I say to anybody with anxiety, there is hope. Here's your hope. Keep growing in the knowledge of God. Keep growing in your identity in Christ. You're a son. You're a daughter of the living God. He loves you so much. One of the most amazing things we see in Psalm 50, verse 15, it says this, then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you. So a surprise bill comes, and it checks our mindset. And if our mindset is old thinking, and we have not established, which takes time, it takes effort, it takes every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. If we don't do that, what we find ourselves is in 5 years, we may have wanted to change and shift some things, but our mindsets trapped our life and we could never break through to where God has called for us to be. The greatest piece of real estate in the whole planet is right here. Not mine, yours. Trust me. Not mine, yours. Right? Between your ears is the most expensive piece of real estate. It changes the game. When we lean in and grow our knowledge of God, it equips us to do battle with the lies of the enemy that are seeking to break you down. To break you down. I look at the things I used to fear over as a teenager. You know, isn't it fun as you grow up, you look at like the things that used to stress you out as a teen, and you, your future Paul wants to go back to past Paul and be like, man, you got nothing to worry about. It's all going to work out. But what had to happen? Well, I had to grow personally in my knowledge of God. Did you know in your knowledge of God, you want to know one of your inheritances? It's a sound mind. Did you know that? It's not fear. It's a sound mind. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You won't be abandoned. You will not be forsaken. God is so faithful over your life. You may be going through heartbreak right now. You may be going through hell right now. Can I tell you, God's going to bring you to the other side. But here's what has to happen. I can't convince you. God wants to lift you up. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to equip you to a place that your mindset shifts. It's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful picture. And so one of the things I do is I spend time in God's Word. It's not just me. I know several others that spend time in God's Word. The Word, my pastor says this all the time, the Word of God works. It just works. Relationship trouble, just get in alignment with the Word of God. Boom. Boom. Financial circumstances, absolutely. Growing your knowledge of God, get in alignment with the Word of God. It begins to work. Begins to take place in your life. The enemy wants us to live captive to our thoughts, captive to our mindsets, and God wants to grow us, equip us, strengthen us to never have fear another minute in our lives. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But by golly, I got my eyes to getting to a place where I will be there. And it's a beautiful picture. So one of the things I do is I begin to get into God's Word. A second thing I love to do is I begin to speak God's truth. So not only do I read it, but I begin to verbally speak it out over my life, over my relationships. I do this actually on an almost daily basis. Now, I'm not making stuff up and just speaking it out. The key is speak God's Word, speak God's truth. But I begin to speak God's Word. I begin to declare it. And what I've noticed, it shifts, it changes my mindset. For relationships, I begin to speak things over you. You don't even know it. I begin to speak things over you. And what God begins to do is he begins to move on your and our behalf. I love to speak God's truth in any given moment throughout the day. This takes time as you learn God's word and his word over your life. There is something powerful about the audible truth statement being spoken. It reinforces what our soul knows. One area I do this especially in is another area. You've enjoyed the surprise bill. I guess you've experienced that from time to time. One area I do this in is the surprise doctor's report. Have you ever had the surprise doctor's report? You don't take those lightly, right? Because why? It's a doctor. And what do doctors do? They practice medicine. I mean, it's pretty pivotal in our day-to-day living. So in no way do I belittle this. But I understand that one of the keys I have to do is I have to protect my thinking. And so when there's a surprise report, one of the things I begin to do is I begin to speak God's word out over my life. I speak it out over your life. We get prayer needs, sincere needs. Honestly, we get moments where, I mean, a miracle needs to happen. And what do we begin to do? We just begin to speak God's word out. Surround yourself with God's word on healing and his power. Then speak that knowledge over your circumstances. It's remarkable what God will do. He is the healer. I begin to lean into verses. Again, I don't make stuff up. I begin to go through the lens of God's word. And I say, God, do you remember this? And he's quite familiar with his word. And I'll say, hey, Exodus chapter 15, 26. You actually gave an identity to your people. You said this, I am the Lord who heals you. Hey, God, I'm going to lean into that knowledge. Matthew 8, 7. It's a simple one, but it's Jesus. He's in a circumstance, and he said, I will go and heal him. So I begin to just let the word of God renew my mind. Because y'all, you may be good in your mindsets, but I had to get some freedom in some of my mindsets, some of my ways of thinking, some of the ways I handled situations. There's no reason for daughters and the sons of God to be buckled over in fear and to feel forsaken or abandoned when the Word of God clearly says, we have a Father who knows what you need before you ever ask Him. Man, that's incredible. That's the good news of the gospel. It's not God's ticked off. He sees everything wrong that you're doing and He's so mad at you and angry and fed up, He sent His Son. No. What we see clearly is God so loved you. He so loved this world that He sent His Son to set us free from the bondage of sin. The bondage of the pattern, listen to this, the pattern of the ways of this world, of thinking. I just love sharing on this. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, this is again with the doctor's support, one of the things I do. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That's just one of the ways. I'll be transparent. One of the ways Kelly and I handle doctor's reports, whether it's over our kids, whether it's over ourselves, we recognize this one truth. The enemy is putting things in our day that are attempting to set themselves up against the knowledge of God over my life. And you and I have to recognize that and draw a line in the sand, cross over it, and say, there's no going back. I'm not going to let the enemy of my soul steal from me, whether that be my future or whether that be my present circumstances. And it's a beautiful picture, like God has equipped you to do that. And He invites us into this reality. Think of that. Think of establishing that truth in our lives. So we begin to know God through His Word. We begin to physically, and I mean this, we speak God's Word over our life. I'll never forget, I've got to wrap up because y'all want to go sledding. I know how it is. All right. I do have to wrap up, but I do want to say this. I'll never forget. When our youngest daughter was born, and we had to go from 2 days in, she was holding her breath, and now it's easy to look back on. But in the moment, we had to get her transferred to Pensacola. This was when we lived in Florida. 90 minutes, different hospital, different team, different doctors, the whole thing. And I just flipped out. I'd love to say, man, I was so strong. I'll look back and I'm like, no. Was not strong at all. We just had no idea what was going on. It was our firstborn. We were a little freaked out. And my wife and my parents-in-law, they just began to speak words of life, began to declare God's truth. And what it did is it increased my faith. And I began to speak over those circumstances. I kid you not. Praise God for insurance. Amen. Because it was almost $200,000. She was a full week in the NICU, day in and day out, the doctors were running every test available, every possible thing available. And praise God, I don't know what happened, but they could find no results. They could find nothing. And so I understand, do I bat 100? I don't bat 100. No. Life on earth, there are some major question marks I have, especially in the area of healing. One of the things I recognize, though, and I mean this sincerely, is don't be tempted by an old mindset. Continue to push through. There are times I pray. There are times I've asked God for things, and they don't happen. They don't get them. I want to be encouraged. I want to encourage you. In your journey with Christ, there are two big areas that the enemy is going to try to tackle you. Discouragement through disappointment and distraction. If you can keep a guard on those two things, you'll be fine. But disappointment's the real deal. And there are moments I pray for things and I don't see it and I don't understand, but I still let the knowledge of God's word overtake me for my future. And the third is I simply do this, which we've already talked about, and that is I pray God's word. I begin to pray God's word over any given circumstance, any area of my life. What I found is as the scripture, when I read God's word, when I read God's word, when I begin to speak God's word, and when I begin to pray God's word, who would have thought it? I see the hand of God move in unprecedented ways. In unprecedented ways. And we do this all through faith. We do this all, every lick of this, we do through faith. But can I tell you, in the economy of the kingdom of God, Faith is your greatest asset. And so when you feel like it or don't, I promise you, you begin to work these three things, your knowledge of God will begin to skyrocket. And as your knowledge of God begins to skyrocket, it shifts your mindset. It shifts your way of thinking so that as you move from day to day to day, you're not simply floating along, but you're well equipped to do battle with the lies of the enemy. And he will come across our path. And I want to encourage you to press in this season, to lean in to all that God has for you. For many of you, you're participating in our 21-day fast. If you haven't and you want to jump in, it's only a 7-day fast now. So come on, everybody can jump in with that. We do that at the beginning of the year. One of the reasons we do that is we're just kind of decreasing in some areas so that God can increase in some areas. And quite frankly, that's all this message was. We decrease, we turn down the noise of the world and the patterns of thinking, and we turn up the noise of God's word and God's life, God's hope, God's peace over our lives. Amen?
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.